Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. Two verses that speak of the birth of Christ, and I want to highlight the theme in these two verses of Jesus as the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace. The Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And that one word describes what everybody really wants in life, don't we? We all want prosperity. We want favor. We want health. We want welfare. We want safety. We want wholeness. All those things are described by that Hebrew word, shalom. But unfortunately, the reality is, that's not the world we live in, is it? We don't live in a world that is marked by shalom, by peace. We live in a world of violence. We live in a world of chaos. We live in a world where families are broken, where there's conflicts at work, where there's troubles all around us, where there's anger and hatred in our hearts and on the streets. We live in a world where things break. We live in a world where relationships fail, where structures unravel, because we're sinners. I just read this week of a story of a woman in Cambodia who's facing deep poverty, and she took out a $200 loan from loan sharks, who quickly escalated her loan to $10,000. And then, in desperation, she sold her 12-year-old daughter. She sold her 12-year-old daughter's virginity to sex traffickers. This is the world we live in, isn't it? And it's not just out there. It's here. And it's all around us. There's despair. There's fear. There's injustice. Sorry to speak of downer things on a Christmas sermon, but we know these are reality. It's conflict, hatred, arguments. There's war in our world, isn't there? I mean, just right now, there's a war in Afghanistan. There's war in Pakistan. There's the Mexican drug war. There's the Syrian civil war. There's the Iraqi insurgency ever since we've pulled out. It's factional fighting in Libya. In fact, none of that really is new, is it? There's been wars, well, really, forever. There's been war and fighting ever since Cain killed Abel back in the book of Genesis, right? We have war in our world. And just because it's Christmas, these problems and the reality of lack of peace in our world doesn't go away. We try to protect ourselves, but the violence is really all around us. There's no doubt that we live in a world that does not have peace. So what do we turn to, or what do we rely on, to restore peace? Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, is a prophecy from Isaiah himself, from God, which announces the coming of ultimate peace. And as believers, we read these verses and we say, this is our hope. Listen to Isaiah 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Lord, we do thank you for this season of Christmas. And we're grateful for a time to remember the coming of Christ to this sinful, broken, violent world. But we don't want to just celebrate this as many people do today. We don't want to just celebrate joyful things, beautiful music, food, and decorations, and holiday celebrations. We want to remember the coming of Christ as our hope, the coming of the Prince of Peace to establish a rule that will never end. And we want to be thankful for that. I pray, Lord, that you will help us to see the truth of these verses, to rejoice in it, to celebrate it, and to carry it in our hearts. I pray that the message on our lips would be a message of Jesus and of hope and of the peace that he brings to lost sinners. Give me strength these moments, Lord, to be faithful to your word, and give us all hearts to hear. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Isaiah lived in Jerusalem, and he began prophesying in the year that King Uzziah died, which was around 740 BC, 740 some years before Christ was born. And in Isaiah's world, they were in need of peace. And even today, we are just as much in need of peace as they were back then. I want to ask the question, what is this peace like? How does Isaiah, in these two verses, describe the peace that we need and the peace that comes to us in Christmas? So three things that I want to highlight from these two verses. The first one is this. The Prince of Peace is divine. The Prince of Peace is divine. That means he is God. He is deity. He is the Son of God. He is not like us. We are human. This child that was born is divine. The Prince of Peace is the Son of God. And that speaks of a very important point that we need to remember as we think about peace and we think about the world that we live in. There is no human being that can bring peace on this earth. The Prince of Peace came to do what I cannot do, what you cannot do, what no one else can do. Because we're human, and he's divine. This male child that Isaiah speaks of would be different. And he's worthy of divine names because he is the Son of God come in human flesh. You'll notice in verse 6 that he's given a whole list of names. Most often they're paired into four names. So Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Some translations might have five names if they put a comma between Wonderful and Counselor. In fact, I even read one commentary that thought it should be one big long name. He is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that's possibly legitimate, but however you slice it or break it up, the inescapable fact of the text is that terms of deity are given to a human-born child. Now, there are some people, such as liberal theologians, who don't believe in miraculous prophecy at all, and also Jews who don't believe that in the deity of the Messiah, they would look at these verses and they say, well, this can't possibly be a prediction of Jesus, the Son of God. 730 years before Jesus was born, how could Isaiah miraculously predict that? So they say, can't be talking about Jesus. This verse must be talking about someone else. Maybe it's Hezekiah. King Hezekiah, who was at that time either just born or maybe about to be born, a peaceful king of Judah, a good king of Judah. And they look at that and they say, well, it must be talking about Hezekiah because but they have a problem. There's a problem when you say that because you look at those titles and, okay, well, maybe Hezekiah could be the Prince of Peace. Maybe Hezekiah could be a wonderful counselor, but Everlasting Father, that's starting to stretch it. And how could he possibly be called the mighty God? And so what they do is they reinterpret this verse. They kind of retranslate it, especially the second half of verse 6. And they say, what it really says is this, and he, that is God, who is wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, calls his, that is Hezekiah's name, Prince of Peace. But that's not grammatically correct. I mean, you can read your Bible, you have an accurate translation, that's not what the text says. Furthermore, how could even that title, the Prince of Peace, truly be given to Hezekiah? Hezekiah, like so many other kings of Judah, waged war. And he himself was invaded by the Assyrians. History has shown that King Hezekiah did not bring about a reign of peace that, as it says in verse 7, has no end. It's not Hezekiah. No. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7 is not a prophecy about Hezekiah. It's not a prophecy about any king that lived in Jerusalem. It is a prophecy about the birth of Jesus Christ, because he alone is the one that can bring us peace. The Prince of Peace is divine. He's not a human being. He took on human flesh, but he is the Son of God himself. That tells us that peace is not something that we can do or that we can bring. It's something that God does and that God brings. You know, there's a Nobel Peace Prize winner every year since 1901. There's been over 100 winners of the Nobel Peace Prize. And they've done wonderful things, and they've done good things. Some of them are great men and women or organizations that are worthy of honor of some sort. A Nobel Peace Prize winner cannot bring peace on earth. The truth of the matter is, we can't do that. We as human beings are not the solution. We are the problem. And what we need is a divine solution. We need a divine Son of God to come into this earth to be the Prince of Peace. Can't be brought about by a king. There's no president, no political operative, no social organizer. Oh, sure, we can learn to get along, and we learn to make truces. Lots of times, families do that. Countries do that. We cannot bring peace on earth. What we read of here in these verses is of a divine invasion into a violent world. Someone who's going to bring peace. This is Christmas. And this is our hope. Our hope is a grateful desperation that there can be peace on earth. But not because of something we do, or King Hezekiah would do, or any other great Nobel Peace Prize winner could possibly do. Our hope is that Jesus can bring peace. And this baby that's wrapped in snuggly cloths, lying in a feeding trough, is God come in the flesh. Isaiah says he is. He is Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace. So the Prince of Peace is divine. Second observation that I want to make on these two verses is that the Prince of Peace is unexpected. It comes in a way that we would never expect. Notice how the verse begins, verse 6. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. A child, a baby, it comes in an unexpected way. You know, at Christmas time we have our traditions, don't we? You have traditions. We all have Christmas traditions. What are your Christmas time traditions? The things that you do every year when Christmas rolls around, what is it that you look forward to doing? What is it that you do year after year after year? Some people go to the same place every year and buy their Christmas tree the same time, maybe the day after Thanksgiving, maybe Christmas Eve, maybe on a certain day. And then you put up the same decorations that you put up every year, right? Some people always go every year to the 34th Street lights. And you notice that they put up the same Christmas lights every year. Some people always like to go to grandma's house and bake cookies. Some people like to have a big Christmas breakfast on Christmas morning, or maybe you do it on Christmas Eve. Some people always like to come to the live nativity here at Beachmont, and you do that every year. That's part of your tradition. Some of you wait until the day before Christmas, and you do this every year, to buy your Christmas gifts. You know who you are. And then you complain about the traffic every year. You know, Christmas time is a time for traditions. It's the routine. It's the expected. And that's part of the attraction of it. That's part of the joy of it, that we do something that we like doing. And so we do it every year, and it's routine. It's expected. It's tradition, right? But at the heart of Christmas is the most shocking, unexpected event ever. This is not routine. A child is going to be born. Isaiah is announcing the coming of peace to this world. And how is it going to come? And we start thinking, okay, what would we expect? How would we expect God to bring peace to this earth? Well, we would not expect it to happen by the birth of a baby, a vulnerable little baby. And that's what is pronounced, and that is what happens. The peace bringer comes as a baby. I mean, if you think of it, if God, and that was a miracle. It was a virgin birth, and the birth of Christ, the birth of the Son of God, and in human flesh as a baby, was a miracle. Now, if God was going to perform a miracle to bring peace to earth, I mean, why that miracle? Why not any other miracle? If Christ is the peace bringer, and he's going to come in human flesh, God could have just miraculously had him come on the clouds of glory as a man, and come and bring peace, miraculously. I mean, why this miracle? Well, maybe part of it is God is showing us that the coming of peace comes in a way that we wouldn't expect it, or that we would try to orchestrate, or that we would try to plan. It comes as a vulnerable baby. And then, of course, Isaiah also prophesied two chapters earlier, in chapter 7, verse 14, that this baby was going to be born of a virgin. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Another shocker. A baby born of a virgin? And of course, for the unbelievers and the pagans of the world, it's like a party joke. Really? Come on. A virgin having a baby? And yet, it's the shocking, unexpected truth. The birth of Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin, yes, Mary. Not routine, unexpected. And then we ask, how could a tiny baby bring peace to the world? Okay, he was born as a baby, but how in the world could a baby bring peace? Well, here's how he did it. Something even more expected. He grew up and he brought peace to the world by allowing himself to be violently crucified. And that's how he did it. He didn't organize a crusade. He allowed himself to be crucified. Violently. And his violent death on the cross. Yes. That is what brings peace. Died on that cross for our sins. He died where I should have died. He died where angry, violent, rebellious, selfish, proud sinners should have died. And on that cross, he bore the punishment that our sins so richly deserved. He suffered the full force of God's anger and wrath for all of our ugly, cruel, selfish sins. And he gives us peace with an almighty, holy God. Who would have ever imagined that the way to bring peace into this world, into this hostile, violent world, would be to send a vulnerable baby to be born of a virgin and to be violently crucified? Who would have ever guessed that? Surprise! It's Christmas. That's the way God does it. Christmas is the ultimate surprise. This is not routine. This is not expected. This is unexpected. And yet that's what we need, because same old, same old, same old, same old could never bring us peace. But an invasion of the Son of God into our world as a baby to die for our sins is what we need. So the Prince of Peace is divine. The Prince of Peace is unexpected. And thirdly, the Prince of Peace is eternal. Here I want to draw your attention to verse 7 to see that the Prince of Peace brings a peace that is everlasting and eternal. It says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. It will never end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, how long? From this time forth and forevermore. I have a question. And this is not a trick question. It's a genuine question. It's legit. Question that I think if anybody who's thoughtful has probably thought about. If Jesus came to bring eternal peace, an everlasting peace, a peace that will never end from this time forth and forevermore, if that's what Isaiah prophesied, and if that's what we believe that Jesus came to bring, here's the question. Then why do we still have turmoil and fighting in our world? Thought about that, haven't you? Why is this world still messed up? If Jesus came to bring peace, and we sing that, we say that, we believe that as Christians, Jesus came to bring peace on earth, and we celebrate the coming of Jesus at Christmas, he came, where is the peace, right? Well, here's something of the answer, I think. And it is this, because for the believer, the fulfillment of Isaiah 9:7, it has already happened, and it has not yet happened. I know that sounds like doublespeak, but maybe here's another way to say it. The peace that Jesus brings to believers comes in two installments. There's a phase one and there's a phase two. The first installment is an internal peace in our hearts that is available for anyone who trusts in Jesus. It is available for whoever turns away from their sins, repents of their sins, and puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Internal peace in your heart is available for you. So, believer, if you trust in Jesus, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this in your heart. Then there's a second installment, and that is external peace all around us, which hasn't happened yet, but it will happen at the end of the age when Jesus comes back. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this too. So it comes in two installments. We've only received the first one so far, if we're a believer, if you're a believer. So yes, we still live in a world of turmoil and violence and problems, but we do have an internal peace in our hearts. We celebrate that. It makes me think of Stonewall Jackson. You know Stonewall Jackson, he was a general in the Confederate Army. He fought for Robert E. Lee in the South. And Maryland is a border state, so you can think whatever you want, it's okay, about Stonewall Jackson, and that's perfectly fine in Maryland. But as Christians, we respect his faith in Jesus Christ. He was a Christian man, and he believed firmly in the sovereignty of God, and he believed in Jesus Christ. He believed so much in the sovereignty of God, that God was in control of everything, that one time he said, "I feel as safe on the battlefield as I do lying on my bed at home." That's how much he believed that God was sovereign. Do you see? That's the kind of internal peace that a believer has in his heart. A peace that he knows, if I trust in Jesus Christ, and Jesus forgives me of my sins, and I have the righteousness of Christ, yes, this world is still full of trouble. And it is, for Stonewall Jackson, literally as if bullets are flying by my head. For him, they were literally. Yet still, I know. I believe in Jesus. And it's going to be okay. No matter what happens, I know my life is in God's hands. He's sovereign and he's good. And if I live, I want to live for him. And if I die, I want to die for him. So he could feel just as safe on a very violent, bloody battlefield as he could sleeping peacefully in a safe place in his bed. That's what we can have as believers. We can have an internal peace in our hearts. Oh yeah, the world's still violent. You're still going to go to work, and there might be problems at work. Might be conflict in the family. Troubles all around us. But if we have Jesus in our hearts, if we have the Prince of Peace dwelling within us, we are at peace. At peace with God. And we can experience an internal peace. A peace that no one can steal away. And it is very truly and very really a peace in our hearts that will not have an end. If you truly trust in Jesus, the peace that he brings, it is eternal. It's in you right now. And you will experience it forever. And someday, we long for this. There's going to be external peace around us as well when Christ comes to establish the new heavens and the new earth. See, the truth is that the violence, the hatred, the despair, it's not just out there, is it? It's not just rules and cities and gangs and governments and really, really bad people. The problem is, it's not just in other countries. It's not just out there. The problem is that it's in here. It's in my heart. It's in your heart. The violence, the rebellion, the pride, the selfishness, it's in my heart. I have joined the whole human race in this massive rebellion against God. I've done that. And you're with me in it. We have all rebelled against our Creator. And so you see, if God is going to bring peace on earth, it's not just going to pass laws. or get people excited about something, he has to do something about the issue, the problem in our hearts. He has to deal with the root cause of this violent world that we live in. The root cause is human sin in my heart and in your heart. Which is, of course, precisely what Jesus, the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, does. Dies on the cross for my sins. Washes it away. Takes out my stone of my heart of stone. He puts in me a heart of flesh that longs for the holy God to please him and to follow him. He makes me more and more and more and more like Jesus Christ. The only one who can do that is this baby, our King, our peacemaker. And oh yes, harmful and hurtful things will still happen. But in our hearts, we will be able to trust God and we will be able to have peace. Yeah, rough things happen. It's still a violent world, isn't it? I ask a question. What's going on in your life right now? Difficulties, troubles, I'm sure there are. Christmas 2013 is a beautiful season. But it is also still marked with the worries and the cares and the sometimes even the violence of this hurtful world. For me, some of the things going on is I'm still trying to learn how to be a father to four boys that came from an orphanage, and many times where that feels chaotic, along with everything else that I'm trying to sort out in life right now. Sometimes I do feel like Stonewall Jackson. Maybe there's not literal bullets flying by my head, but metaphorically speaking, it feels like there are. And I feel like I'm in chaos sometimes. But that's just a circumstance. I don't want to let that disrupt my peace. Sometimes I do. I shouldn't. But this internal peace is available because I know that my sin has been removed and I can trust God in this as well as in everything. You know, that almost feels like a really, really lame illustration compared to the story that we saw of the Philippines and the relief effort that's taking place there. There's some real devastation that happened in the Philippines. And pictures are very useful to show that to us. I'm grateful for the one song that was playing while we saw some of those images. Be still, my soul. In the midst of that, can people be still and know peace? Yes. And you know, that is one of the true challenges of relief efforts and evangelism. And what people often really need in a crisis moment is food and a house to be rebuilt, and they need tangible help. But I'm so glad that right along with that, we can bring the gospel. Yes, we could take hammers and saws, but we could also give tracts. Because what they really need is to be at peace with God. And it can happen. The house is broken down all around you. You could be sitting on that rubble and be at peace. And you can too. What is going on in your life right now? It might be total chaos. There might be fears and there might be hurts and trials. But in the midst of it, you can have peace from the Prince of Peace. Your world feels like a raging storm. Yes, this Prince of Peace, he can walk on your water. He can calm the water for you, and he can still your fears. I want to invite someone who might be here who's not a believer. I want to invite you this morning, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, Christmas 2013, this can be the time that you can come to know Jesus, that you can come to be at peace with your Maker. Maybe you're a guest, your friend, maybe you're a child. You're not right with God. What that means is, what that means is that there's no peace in your heart. And that also means that at the end of your life, you'll stand before your Maker to be condemned to an everlasting destruction in the fires of hell. But it doesn't have to be that. I mean, we know that what everybody wants is life and welfare and goodness and peace and safety and wholeness. That's what everybody wants. And the scriptures are saying that it's offered. Here it is. Here is the Prince of Peace who can give you his government in your heart, and there will be no end to your peace with God. It's here. It's available. And I want to urge you. I want to invite you. Put your faith in Jesus, the Prince of Peace, and receive that. Enjoy it. Celebrate it. And worship him. I just want to say one other word in closing, and I feel like I need to say this in our day. And it's this, that the mission of the church is to proclaim this message. The mission of the church is to proclaim the message of the offer of salvation to lost sinners. Our mission is to proclaim the coming of the Prince of Peace to a dying world and a hostile world. That's our mission. Our mission is not to bring peace. It's a fine distinction. The mission of the church is not that we go out there and we find all the hurts in the world and we fix them because we're the church. Okay, we do want to do lots of those things. Absolutely. We want to help hurting people. But our mission is to proclaim the message that Jesus is the one who brings peace. Lots of churches and Christians that are a little bit off the tracks on that. And they put the cart before the horse. And we need to be careful that we proclaim the truth that Jesus is the bringer of peace. We don't come and announce ourselves as the ones who have the solution for the whole world. Our mission is not to bring shalom. No. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. That's what the text says. It says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. We proclaim it. We proclaim his coming. And we do what we can to help our neighbors. But we proclaim the message, the coming of the Prince of Peace. And you know what? Then we get to exalt. We get to worship. We get to proclaim the child who brings peace. And this truth, true peace comes to us because this child was born, and we get to celebrate that this week. That is happy, joyful news. Would you bow your heads, please? Father, I thank you for the coming of the Savior. I thank you for the coming of the King of Kings, for the coming of our everlasting Father, for the coming of the mighty God, the coming of our wonderful counselor as a baby, as a vulnerable baby, to be our crucified Savior. I thank you, Lord, that the peace that Christ brings is a true peace. It's not just a peace on Christmas Day and then we go back to our problems in despair. It's not just temporary. It's not just surface. But it's a true, heart-changing, everlasting, Christ-exalting peace that comes into our hearts and changes us forever. And it changes us from being rebellious sinners to being humble worshipers of the Prince of Peace. Oh Lord, this Christmas season, let the praises of Jesus be rich on our tongues and in our hearts for your glory
In Jesus' name, amen.